Welcome back to an actual podcast edition of the Limited Upside Podcast. I know it's been a while. I'm Mike Prada. Ben Epstein is here. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Mike.
It is Friday, March 12th. Because the pandemic is nearly over, I actually am keeping track of dates. So it's Friday, March 12th, and we are proud to be the latest stop on the Spinsters Podcast World Tour. This is what, stop number 20?
Feels like it. 20, 300, who knows?
What a number.
Am I hallucinating? Maybe.
That's Haley O'Shaughnessy. The other voice you hear is Jordan Liggins. They're the hosts of Spinsters, a new NBA podcast on Blue Wire. And we've got you guys on not because we want to hear the story of the podcast. We like the podcast. It's really great. You can listen to the other 19 stops on the world tour to find out about the podcast. But we're about to, I want to play a game with you guys. You guys in?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Famous for agreeing to things before the full story is laid out. So let's do it.
I'm not going to ask for another example of that. So we listened to your first podcast, which was about things you've enjoyed in this kind of weird, strange COVID season, right? And Taylor, we had you on maybe, what, 3 or 4 months ago? I don't know what time is. When we were talking about sort of how weird it was that the NBA was proceeding amid this COVID outbreak, right? So we have that episode. And you guys were talking about things that you were trying to find joy out of the basketball you were watching and how that was hard, how it's hard with all this other stuff going on. In that spirit, then, we're going to play a game about joy. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to draft a five-man team. I feel like I'm tripping over myself trying to explain this convoluted idea, so I'm sorry.
You're doing great, Mike. I have no idea what we're doing, and I do know what we're doing, so keep it up.
But great. Excellent. So we're going to each draft a five-man team on the basis of we want people – this team will be fun to root for. Five players and a coach. You're drafting an actual basketball team from the entire league. And the goal is simply, let's get as many fans as possible. Let's make my team as likable as possible. Now, there are some ground rules, but before I lay those out, I know there's, Kaylee, you had some questions.
Yes. So is this, obviously listeners are going to tell us whose team is the best. Is it based on your team is the most likable, or is it based on your team is the best in terms of like best roster?
No, most likable.
Oh.
It's not, I mean, look, winning games is obviously makes you likable. It's good to win, but it's not the criteria. Like winning is just a small part of what makes a team likable. You might think that you like the way they fit together. You might think, hey, those guys are fun to root for. I think they're really nice people. They're great people. I really like their games. They're fun. What's that?
I was like, mine is going to be the nice squad.
That's
I like that.
Yeah.
Usually the nice guys is like a phrase I stay away from because when men are like, I'm a nice guy, I'm like, no, you're not, or you wouldn't be saying that. But in this case, yes, since we're assigning them that epithet, yes, I think.
Nice is usually like the most backhanded thing you can say because it's like, there's more that I could elaborate on, but I don't feel like wasting my time. So like, they're nice. And you like shake your head a little bit. That's how I see this. Now, I will say that Mike is someone who dabbles almost entirely in the actual game itself. So now that we're removing basketball from the equation and only on the personality, I think that's true.
No, it's not.
You're an X's and O's guy.
No, let me clarify. We are not removing the basketball. You are the fan base is primarily consuming this unit through the basketball. But like,
for sure,
it's like. The same way, like, I'm a Wizards fan, you're a Sixers fan, Jordan, you're a Lakers fan, right? And Haley, you're a
LeBron
fan and a Louisville fan.
Louisville, first of all.
Excuse me. Imagine that, like, you're following one of those teams, except your team is this group of five players that you've drafted. You're watching all their games, you're following their press conferences, you're a part of Haley O'Shaughnessy and Jordan Liggins' team Twitter. Or whatever that means. What will provide the most fun experience, and the biggest, have the most people want to join you as fans of the Haley, the Jordan, the Ben, or the Mike team?
So we should probably say you don't want to draft a team that will be losing all the time, because that's not fun.
Right.
Yeah. A little bit of basketball context. Okay. Yes. I completely understand. You did a great job explaining that.
And like roughly a couple guards and a couple bigs, so that the team in theory could play a game if they had to.
Well, they are playing games. So yes.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, if you say there are five centers and you're like, well, the five funniest, coolest dudes in the league, that's not a team that we're going to create. Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. Like that will, like, I mean, you might think that that's like your ticket to getting fans, but I feel like that is a bad strategy. That'll wear off after a while. You know, you're people are in this for the long haul with this team. You know, they're playing out a season, and you can interpret whether it's about their personalities or about sort of their, like, how they, the experience is like watching them. Like, most fans do not know these players. In fact, very few of them do. They know them primarily through their basketball playing, but they also know them a little bit through their press conferences and through some of the other things they do. And so it's up to you to decide how much you value that. You had another question?
No, but I can already predict that there's going to be some, it's going to be a David Fizdale Knicks era lineup. I'm like the team that drafts based on how overall talented the player is and not need. So we'll see.
They do say you should pick best player available, although best is relative.
Yeah. And nicest and most enjoyable is also.
Mm-hmm.
It's also out.
Yeah. The only other requirement we have is that you're only allowed to have two players who played in an all-star game in the last 3 years on your team. So that way you're not just picking super teams, right?
Makes sense.
So I have a list somewhere of all the players who have been an all-star in any of the last 3 years. Your team's only allowed to have two of them. That's the only other rule. Other than that, it's a total free-for-all. Obviously, it's good to pick a good team, but it's a team that you will enjoy sort of following for a year, is the idea. Based on your theme of sort of what is this experience that I've enjoyed. You know, I think you guys are talking about the Knicks, right? You really enjoy the Knicks, right? The Knicks are average. They're not that good, but they're
exciting average.
Right, right. So maybe that's what we're going for. The most exciting average team you can possibly pick.
You know what? I will say that this is something I say all the time. Dan Devine wrote this last year, but I believe he was quoting someone else when he did, and he was writing about the Thunder. There's a certain stage with a team where you can see that they have a lot of potential and a lot of fun, but it's before there's the pressure of expectations mm-hmm. with them. That was the Thunder last year for me. That's the Hornets. And for Jordan and myself, that's the Knicks this year. And so, you know, I do think that there's something to, they are a fun team, even if they are average. And being average is also, considering their history, wonderful. So yeah.
Yeah.
Life is about properly setting expectations at a place where you can usually exceed them. That's a good way to be happy. And I think that's what Knicks fans are at right now. When you're thinking 20 wins is a good season and you're well past that at like the All-Star game or the All-Star break almost. Success. I think we all know the rules here. I think we have a draft order as well.
Yes.
Haley, I believe you're on the clock with the first overall selection in the enjoyable NBA draft.
What's the draft order?
So the draft order is you are first, Ben, you are second, I'm third, Jordan is fourth, and then we snake back around. So Jordan is fifth, and then we go back and forth. You can pick players in any order that you want. You can even pick your coach first if you want. I don't know why you do that, but you can.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Haley, you're on the clock. First pick.
Don't need any time at all. I'm picking Giannis.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
I thought you said you were a LeBron fan.
While I will defend certain players, Russell Westbrook is a great example. I'm trying to win this based on likability, and I don't know that, you know, half of the NBA does not like LeBron. So
okay.
Well, I personally do. I'm trying to win this thing.
I see. The wholesome pick. Okay, Giannis, Ben, you're up next. Who you got?
Okay, so my list of players here is based loosely on who's been nice to me when I've met them. And so that's important. And there are picks here that I believe I can sit on a little bit that won't get scooped up. I'm going to go with Klay Thompson for my first pick. Super nice when I met him. Seems like as interesting of a guy that I could actually hang out with. Very good also, so he's not going to hurt my team. And I just, you know, at the end of the day, who has to enjoy sports more than the guy who just missed two seasons? I feel like he's probably aching to get back on the court, but probably has some good perspective on the world too.
That's an interesting Klay Thompson. That's an interesting first pick. Now, do you know that Klay is technically an all-star in one of the past three seasons? So you only allowed one more for the rest of your roster.
So when I made this roster, I wasn't thinking about the last three seasons. I was only thinking about this past year. I misread your first email because rules are stupid. And this is a hypothetical game. So there is a world where I pick other all-stars exceeding my two limit. And, you know, you can slap me on the wrist.
Why don't you just pick them instead?
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to pick the all-stars is what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm going to do my best to stick to two. It's your turn, Mike.
Well,
no more.
If you don't stick to two, I will tell you to pick somebody else.
All right. Just go.
That's how it works.
Just go.
Okay. I'm going to make the pick that like, I think is like the biggest no brainer pick out here. And I'm honestly surprised Haley didn't make this pick. I'm taking Steph Curry. Okay. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Steph Curry.
There's plenty of people who...
Okay, wait. What? Who doesn't like Steph Curry? Who would not want to root for Steph Curry?
I root for Steph Curry. I don't find him especially likable, like compared to other people that you could choose.
I love Steph Curry. That's who I was going to pick.
Lot of people do. I think there's a similar divide, much less than LeBron, but... I do think there's a slight...
There is?
I don't know. I don't know her. Too.
Yeah. What?
I think LeBron is more polarizing, but anybody who is successful in anything for a period of time will eventually get some haters just because there's enough contrarian personalities out there. Steph started to get his, even the beginning of this season, everyone wanted to write his obituary.
What?
About how, yeah, man, of course you know this.
Remember everyone was like, oh,
stepped on.
And then people were shocked that he like was back. "Quote unquote back." They were like, "I can't believe it."
Where did he go?
Steph Curry again? Yeah,
Jordan,
I was like,
"Jordan, do we live on different internets?"
I don't know, but I was with you. I was with you. I was gonna pick Steph because he. Well, and this is the joy draft, so he brings me joy.
Right.
When I watch him play, like we talked about the 3-point competition, that was just a joyous moment for me to watch his shooting form. So. You stole that from me, but I'm with
you.
Sorry. So
sorry about that.
Jordan, as always, you make a wonderful point.
Thank you.
Remember, it's the experience of watching Steph Curry, and I can't think of a player who's more fun to watch.
Okay. Yeah, that's very true. Okay. Yep. Never mind. I'm changing my position. That's very true.
Yeah.
I think people don't like his like off the court. I mean, not necessarily off the court, but like the mouth guard and like all the winks and stuff. I think that annoys a lot of people. Also, like the dynasty annoyed a lot of people. See, like Ben's on my side, but but the joy of watching him in like the 3-point contest, I'm like, no, okay, you guys are right.
Okay.
I concede.
Now, Giannis is still quite fun to watch as well, and I think very, very wholesome. To root for. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Giannis, although my wife pretends not to like Giannis because it pisses me off.
Fair enough.
All right. Fourth
Jordan.
Next two picks of yours.
Oh, next two. That's right. Okay. I'm just gonna go in order here. I'm gonna go with Dame as my first pick because you know, first of all, it's Dame Dallas, so that automatically brings me joy. Just a great rap name. But I just love, I love watching him play. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how far he's going to shoot. And he's so clutch. He's one of the most clutch people in the game. So that is a joy to watch. My next pick is one of my favorite players, and that is CJ McCollum. He's going to be my shooter. Man.
Ooh, you got the Blazer duo. That was a smart pick.
I know. That's a little Blazer. I mean, they're not doing so hot, but people love watching them play. And I love watching CJ. I love watching CJ's training videos. Like, that's how much I can just study his game. He is also just fun on Twitter, and his wife is a dentist. My brother's going to be a dentist. So I just feel like there's just a little connection there that I really enjoy.
What are his
he was high up on my list. Yeah, high up on my list. You got a mid-major going there too, like Lehigh representation. A lot of reasons to like CJ McCollum.
Wasn't he Lafayette? Yes.
No, he was Lehigh.
Oh, no, he was Lehigh. That's right. Mm-hmm. Also, probably the best player in the league who has not been an all-star in the last three seasons.
So that's the other reason he's a perfect pick. Great work, Jordan, is he didn't waste an all-star pick on an all-star. So that's...
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I am going to pick an all-star because I feel like this person brings me so much joy. And again, there's nobody who doesn't like this person. And that is Nikola Jokic. Okay. So my team is anchored by the pick and roll combination of Steph and Jokic. I feel like I got the nerds on my side. They're both really awesome, fun people. They are both really good and versatile. They're willing to sort of stick it up for the team. They're both marketable in their own way. They're both a little bit goofy. I feel like this is like, it doesn't even really matter who my other three are. Steph and Jokic is my kind of touchstone players. I got all the fans.
Yeah, likable, I guess. You know, sure, Mike. I think you're going for a pretty good basketball team here, too. I think when I made my list, and it's going to be pretty apparent by the time my team is done, I think being good at video games might be more important than actual basketball. Like, we'll see, right? I guess you have to wait to see who I pick, but I think I was
probably only if you don't say slurs on the video game.
Yeah, I'm not picking him. No, he's the last person who's going to make this list right now, a name we will not say.
Coming in hot at 451st.
Seriously.
How many two-way guys are in the league? I feel like he's lower than 451st.
I honestly
just pulled that number. I have not
expanded rosters. But yes.
All right, Ben, who you got?
I'm going to take Joel Embiid as both an extremely likable, interesting, incredible background. Seems to be one of the more thoughtful, funny people on Twitter. And he is the anchor of my favorite actual NBA team, having an MVP season. So I feel like if you wanted to talk actual basketball, a pick and pop, a screen and shooter situation between a Joel and Clay would be, well, if JJ Redick and Embiid made a lot of sense, I think Clay and Joel, and in my hypothetical world, someday they do play together in Philadelphia. So fingers crossed. Joel's a very, very easy pick for me here.
Okay. All right. So does Joel have like universal approval rating at this point?
I think so. I mean, I know there's teams that hate him because their best players go up against him and he can be, he looks to like emasculate other bigs in the league. So when he plays against AD and when he plays against Gobert, it's so personal to him that he like goes a little overboard, I think. And he can be quite the instigator on the court, as you have seen before.
Instagram and social media. Oh, for
totally.
Sure.
Totally. Big time. He's like a real proficient troll for an NBA player.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Kelly.
So I don't know if this is going to be a good choice, but kind of in line with your choice, hated perhaps off the court, but just in terms of like, nobody can deny when he's on the court playing that it's so much fun to watch. This might really do me in. I'm picking KD.
Okay. Now, I feel like the KD hate has sort of gone away.
I think so, too. There are some people who will never let it go, but I don't know that I'm hoping those people don't listen to your podcast.
I feel
like KD is get over it, you know?
Like, KD plays beautiful basketball. So mm-hmm. you even if you hate him, you're, you know, clenching your fist because when he shoots a jumper, it's beautiful. So
right.
That was a great pick. Great pick, Haley.
And Thank you. He was very smart to get himself injured so that he became less of a threat and garner our sympathy.
No, honestly, I do think like him and Kyrie going to the Nets, people are like, oh, brother, like you're doing it again. But the Warriors era is over. And I do think that people have enjoyed watching him so much again that they're kind of over it. There was definitely that time when the Warriors seemed so dominant that it was almost like, is that anything different ever going to happen? You know, and people didn't like watching them, but the Nets are a completely new experience and I've loved it so far.
Yeah. So. But also Nets don't have like this, it's not a fan base that you can identify. Like the Nets are this like amorphous blob fan base. I went to tons and tons of games when I lived up the street and it's mostly people like me who just like lived up the street, not because they're Nets fans. And then hope all the Nets fans hate me for that. And then who doesn't like a nice Achilles recovery story? It's like one of those injuries that when you hear about it, you assume that's the end of that person's career, or at least the peak. And he has shown, you know, he's great. He's still great.
Who could have predicted that? Who could have predicted that?
Yeah. If only there was like a newsletter from someone on this podcast, Mike, good job. So well done. All right. Is that back to me?
No, I get one more, right?
Oh, you get two picks. Jack. That's right. Good call. Another pick.
Okay, so let's see. I have Giannis. I have KD. Is this even going to work? Yeah, this will work. Again, I'm like, wow, the risks. I really came into this thinking I could win, but I don't know. I'm picking Bam.
Bam, I believe, is ineligible because you have two All-Stars.
Oh, okay, fine. Jeez. Man, I really just gave someone an idea there.
Well, there's only one person who has not picked their two All-Stars already, so
yeah. Basically, congrats, Jordan.
Outsmarting us all. Am I not getting this experience enough on our own podcast? Okay, then I'm throwing a curveball. I'm taking Ja Morant.
Ooh, good pick. I was thinking about taking Ja Morant. Good pick. That's a good pick. If I hadn't,
so fun.
If I hadn't gotten Steph, Ja Morant would have been my pick. God, he's just the way he moves is just amazing.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Wonderful experience watching him. Yeah. I adore him.
The rest of the Grizzlies, I'm not so sure, but yeah, him. Dylan Brooks is hilarious, actually. Maybe I'll pick Dylan Brooks.
If Jaren Jackson Jr.'s three-point shot was like a little different, I think people would enjoy him, watching him on the court.
You mean like the form?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it looks janky. It doesn't feel
a little
right.
Funky. Yeah. So I'm like, every time I like to be sure that the three is going in, which is another point, like to your guys, Steph Curry point, which I've totally been like, that was a good point. It's, you know, he's the opposite of that is the argument for him. But otherwise, I do enjoy watching him a lot.
Okay. All right, Ben.
All right. This is where my team falls apart pretty quickly because I'm going to go with guys I like and who I think are funny and cool again and who probably can't play hoops nearly as well as they once could. I'm going to go with... Give me Blake Griffin.
Okay.
On my team. Probably one of the funnier NBA players, not just because he's actually like he does comedic things and like, you know, professionally and host shows and has been on roasts and whatnot, but like I actually genuinely like his persuasion of sense of humor. I think his dry wit is funny. And I don't think he's been an All-Star in the last 3 years, so he does qualify me, yeah?
He has not. His last All-Star appearance was 4 years ago. I feel like he does not have a universal Q rating, though. I feel like there are people who do not like him.
That may be. I mean, I think Blake has been an underappreciated NBA player, whether that means that's not necessarily good for this particular team we're building. But, you know, he was at a high – when you go to, like, super highs with a team that just misses, you're oftentimes the ones forgotten. And in his case, the other parts of that team, in Chris Paul's case, you know, is still on a high and riding a team that could very well compete for the Western Conference or title. DeAndre Jordan's like a placeholder center right now. And Blake is, you know, all but forgotten and now a buyout with an opportunity to maybe get his title. So yeah, I think there's a redemption story there. And he's a guy who we saw like be a peak athlete with a shorter window.
Yeah, you know? certainly not that now.
No, but I'll tell you, in his day, there wasn't a more exciting player to watch, you know, play basketball. And so now, because of personality, all that above, I'm going with Blake.
I agree. And if people are judging this off of all time, like throughout their career, who else would you watch daily on any given night than Blake? Look, I hope you cut that. That's so embarrassing. Blake.
We're keeping that. Varun, keep that, please.
Then Blake, his rookie season, and then early Lob City. I get that completely. Yeah.
The only problem is that you're presumably playing your team right now and not going back in a time machine and playing with it.
You know, you should have given us the time machine clarification.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my pick is very easy, and I'm stunned that nobody has picked this person, so I will take him. I am taking LaMelo Ball.
Oh, great pick. So fun.
Yeah. Can't see anyone who doesn't like watching him play, you know. And I know there's a little positional overlap, but I also am going to get all those Warriors fans who are kind of grumbling about the James Wiseman pick and wondering why they didn't just take LaMelo, be like, oh man, LaMelo and Steph, they'd be so cool together. So yeah, I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All righty. LaMelo it is. Jordan, two to you.
Okay, two. Well, I just thought of this, it really just came to me. You know, I didn't have any previous thoughts of picking this Heat player. But now I do, and that's Bam.
Oh, man.
Well, I was thinking about it, and then once you said it, I was like, oh, that's actually a really good idea. So, Steele.
Look, we're a team. I'm proud. I'm happy to contribute.
I'll say this. You know what would be, like, for a basketball sense, the perfect big man to play with Dame and CJ? Bam Adebayo. Be the perfect fit. The perfect fit.
I think so too. And Bam is just exciting. His strength, it's fun day in, day out. Actually, I think I want to put him as my power forward because I want Jared Allen.
Oh, that's another good pick.
My center. Afro to Afro, Jared Allen is an amazing person. He's so fun to watch. He just does his job. You know, he goes in there, he blocks shots, he rebounds, he's having a good time, and then he goes home. And you have to root for that player. He's not all flashy. He's there to get the job done, and I love it. I think the Cavs got a steal, and I think the Brooklyn Nets are really going to regret giving him up because he's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Agree with everything you just said.
He comes up with block dunks, and block dunks are awesome. Mm-hmm. So even though he's sort of like a blue collar dirty work player, he has those moments of like, holy shit, what an amazing highlight. So yeah, I'm with that. Okay. I'm going to take probably my favorite role player in the league. Someone that I've been meaning to write a newsletter about that I haven't quite gotten around to, but it's on my list of topics. Mikal Bridges.
Saw that coming too. Yeah, he's great. Good one.
I had that down. That's a good one.
Another person who, again, just sort of does his job, plays so well off others, super efficient, amazing defender. Like watching him like try to guard people, like it's just so much fun to watch him slide side to side, watch him lock up players. He's super smart, so like you kind of have... he's the guy you go to if you want like sort of a really interesting like intellectual quote, so he's gonna get the nerds on my side. And super wholesome, really athletic, plays really well with others. That was like someone I was like, I need that guy on my team.
I like that we all have completely different criteria for how we're picking our teams. I like it.
That's my favorite part.
I'm like, this guy makes me laugh, and I met that one, and Mike's like, this is a good quotable person for the nerd persuasion of Twitter. Great. I think that's great.
I'm trying to get people to root for my team. It's a persuasive. Can't just be what I like. Thing.
I know. I think that's where I messed up here, but we'll see how it ends up.
Okay. Well, you're next.
All right. Give me Colin Sexton, who I find to be one of the most pugnacious players in the league. And I love that. I don't know if many folks watch the Cavs, but with that in mind, when you watch Sexton play, like, there isn't another point guard that he doesn't think he's better than. And that's the way he's felt since college, when he was a little undervalued at Alabama, like not a blue chip basketball program. That's the way he was in like the high school All-American game when we saw him play at Barclays Center. It was just like everything's an affront to him, and I absolutely love that. So I think he's been great this year. I watched him put up 40 on the Sixers, and there was nothing they could do about it. And I kind of like what the Cavs are building as a young base. You mentioned Jared Allen already. He just went in this round. That kind of triggered my – I was like, I should probably pull the trigger on Colin Sexton here a little earlier than maybe I would have. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I actually think he's made some huge steps in a pretty quick period of time. And if he was in a market with a little bit more glitz and glitter, that he would be a little bit bigger name already on the national stage.
Definitely did not have two Cavaliers being picked in this draft.
Well, you got to pick non-All-Stars.
Yeah, that's the
true
part.
Yeah, but there are a lot of non-All-Stars on good teams, just saying.
Yeah. In the last 3 years, though, when you make that three-year window, it really does take away, like, a good amount of players. Because, you know, 3 years is a long time in the NBA. Okay.
Haley, you're up. Okay. Next, two next picks are yours.
So it looks like I need a guard and a center, someone who can play center. Okay. You know which, speaking of, I am surprised. We've all picked our All-Stars, right?
We have, yes.
Yes.
Surprised nobody picked Jimmy, especially after last year's run. People love tenacity and they love effort, so that surprises me.
He was on my list. He was on my list. Mm. But I felt like I was going to be too small if I went Dame, CJ, and Jimmy. Mm. But he was
fair enough.
Yeah.
One of my favorite like Jimmy Butler things about him in general is when he corrected Brett Brown when Brett Brown was like, tonight he was James Butler, and he was like, my name's literally Jimmy. That's probably one of my favorite all time Jimmy Butler moments.
That was wonderful.
In hindsight, that's probably where Brett Brown lost the 76ers.
I just love his accent so much, and I miss hearing Brett Brown talk. That's, if he could just do some post games or some pregame interviews or anything, he could just do it in his closet with a microphone. That'd be great.
Let's get him in the booth.
Let's do it.
Former, if he can do that, players get that a lot.
Welcome to the Spinsters podcast or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, hey, Brett Brown. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Oh my God, that's wonderful. We might have that. We might pull that and make that our intro or our theme. I know.
Or when you call the voicemail, it's Brett Brown.
Oh my God, that'd be wonderful. Wow, I haven't even thought of that yet. We should get people to do
donations. I love it.
Okay. De'Aaron Fox.
Ooh, another good pick. Another good pick.
Thank you. Question.
Yes.
How many Knicks fans would you say listen to your podcast?
Well, let me go check the analytics real quick. Check my listeners.
You are an analytics guy. I'm surprised you don't have a number prepared.
I'm looking it up now and I see it's precisely 38.
Okay, not that bad. Not that bad. This, again, I'm like, every move I make could do me in. I'm picking Mitchell Robinson.
Another great pick. Oh, love watching that guy play. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, this Thank is, you. Oh man, I don't know. Haley, you've got a fun team.
I know. Ja and De'Aaron Fox and KD.
And Giannis.
The coach could do me in. The coach could do me in. So we'll see.
Ooh, that's
man.
I have the last coach. I only wrote down three while we've been doing this because I didn't know coaches was part of it. So
me neither.
I might have to like make up one on the fly And you guys are like, who coaches? Who is that the coach of? And I'm going to say, like, a team who nobody remembers who the coach is.
Wait, I actually have a question.
Sure.
No, I'll get it to mine. Okay. I don't want to give anyone any ideas.
Yeah, I'm Jordan, smart.
close to the vest. Ooh, I'm looking at this team. It's like, your team is going to own highlights, Haley. Like, you're going to be all over the highlights. There's going to be this sort of like, boy, how did these people play together? Like, wow, they're so athletic. That's sort of like curiosity involved. Ooh, man, I think you did pretty well in this draft. Your team, by the way, Ja Morant, De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Mitchell Robinson.
I mean, Jordan's team's the only one that actually... It like is well structured.
Hey, how dare you?
Like, it's like a well structured put together team. Wow. Mine is a complete disaster.
How is mine not a well structured put together team?
Who do you have?
Steph, LaMelo, Bridges, and Jokic. I mean, be the best passing and cutting team in the league.
Oh, wait, I'm gonna get the first coach pick.
No, you're getting the last.
Okay, never mind. No, you're getting the last coach pick. No, I'm getting the last one because you guys go back. Oh, fuck. All right.
All right, whatever. All right.
Okay, Ben, who you got?
Give me Robert Covington, my favorite Sixer of the process era. Someone who I think is like, there's a space and a praise level that a guy like Bridges gets now because Covington opened that door for him to be appreciated fully. So give me the godfather of the modern, call it last 5 years, 3 and D. The type of player, such a good pick. Thank you. And if you saw Covington this weekend, he's like a really sweet guy. He's like a thoughtful, understanding guy. And I think he's always struck me as there's a personality that a lot of NBA players carry, a way they think of themselves. He's been the farthest thing from that his whole career. And I think there's a lot of humility you get from playing for a terrible, terrible team like he did. And then again, eventually being on contenders like he's worked his way into. So big Covington fan, comes from a small school, one that actually he played Loyola, my alma mater, Loyola, Maryland. So not Chicago, the one that's good at basketball. Although shout out to Loyola Greyhounds. They're in the Patriot League final this weekend against Colgate, who's actually pretty good. So we're probably going to lose.
They're playing college basketball this year?
Yeah, for like a little bit longer. Although I don't know if anyone saw the news of the last like 24 hours, but like four of the blue chip programs now have COVID and are no longer in their conference tournaments. Kansas, Virginia, Duke, and there's another one. Goodness. Anyhow.
Yeah, so anyhow. Duke just played Louisville. So I was like,
yeah. No, it's not good.
No.
And Kansas just played Oklahoma. And so it's like all these things are going to potentially bubble over. But
yeah,
anyhow,
we're going to find out the next week. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So didn't mean to make a downer there. Give me Rocco. And I think it's Jordan's turn.
Hey. I'm still.
Nope.
There.
Mike's turn.
Let's
again.
I keep,
there's four of us and I keep getting the order wrong. So that's good.
Ben, I believe that fans tend to like it when their players hit timely three-pointers instead of bricking them. So
yeah,
I'm not sure about the Robert Covington pick there. Or as I like to call it, worse Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, but you know what fans like to do? They like to get really, really behind their best role players. And that's like, again, I could have gone with Marcus Smart and said, hey, 29 teams absolutely loathe this guy. But in terms of a fan base, people absolutely love him. It's the whole hockey complex of like the instigator. Like back in the day, Matthew Barnaby absolutely was one of the most loathsome players in the NHL. But every team he played for, the fan base absolutely loved having them. And there's plenty of those guys in the NBA as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. That makes total sense. I'm going to take Marcus Smart.
you're welcome.
I had him written down, but that's a great pick.
It was between him and one other person who I'll reveal if you don't take them.
Well, you can't pick them anyhow, Mike, so you can say it if Jordan wants to pick them.
I don't want
to
like kind of... Okay, so it was between him and the other one I was thinking about was Jeremy Grant.
He's been good this year, too. Another process sixer. That's interesting.
A bet on yourself person? Mm-hmm. Which of the two do I want? I'm going to go with Marcus Smart. I mean, my team would makes a little less sense now because it's like three guards, Bridges, and Jokic. But yeah, I'm going to go with Marcus Smart.
If they make you happy, that's what we're
if they make you feel enjoyment, then you've successfully made your team, Mike.
I mean, my team is
he can guard. He can guard guys who are bigger than him. So I don't know that. Yeah, you know, think about the defense.
Yeah, my team's got like this amazing switchable defense and three role players playing off the Steph Jokic pick and roll. Like I've got the modern 2021 team here.
Nice.
Congrats.
I like it.
Hope that brings you enjoyment.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm struggling. I'm between two people. I don't know if this really fits the position, but what are positions? Positionless basketball.
It's the new era. Go for it.
It's the new thing. It's trendy. I think I'm going to go with Christian Wood.
Oh,
great. Great pick.
Yes. Just everyone loves a redemption story. You know, he just has a great story. And as you know, we're writers here. We love a great story. And I've loved following him and have him blossom into this incredible player. So, yes, Christian Wood. Sorry that his team isn't that good right now. But yeah.
Can you think of any other like summer league standouts who've become as like not just like a really good NBA player, but also one that finally got rewarded with a contract in a similar sense to Christian Wood? It's hard to
maybe think not any. The contract, maybe not yeah. the contract criteria, but the Kuzma's first year.
Sure.
Yeah. I was at his first summer league game and I was with Megan Schuster and we were both like, okay, wait a minute. This guy is very fun. Let's see who he turns into. Yeah, and then he was really fun in his rookie year too. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, I was gonna say Caruso, just like more recently. No one knew who freaking Alex Caruso was. We were like, how old is he? Is he like 40? Nobody knew. And now he's, you know, the Caruso. Lakers fans love him. He has that new manscaping commercial. I don't know if you guys
which is
saw,
funny.
So. I have not seen it. I have not seen this commercial. Do I want to see this commercial?
It's a little weird, but I was happy for my guy. Like summer league to national commercial. Like
totally.
Is he?
I just remember him. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was gonna say, is he like the most appropriate person to be in a manscaping commercial in the league?
Well. Mike, men can scape more than just the areas you're thinking about.
No, I know. Of course I can. I'm like, that's why I'm mentioning it.
As someone who shaves his head constantly, I can tell you that I think Caruso is a fine selection for them as an advocate and spokesperson. And I remember him at A&M and thinking to myself, like, I don't know what it is about this guy, but I like him. I'm just kidding. No, I'm a bald guy too. You can't see this because it's a podcast, but no, and then he was also like, Caruso's a freak. He's a super good athlete and is willing to do the dirty work. So I appreciate that. Good for him. But Christian Wood was a good pick here. I feel like if he hadn't gotten hurt this year, his name would be even bigger, in the league's chatter, if you will. Unfortunately, obviously, he's been injured for about a month and a half now. So nice pick.
I don't think the Rockets have won since he got injured, like literally.
It feels like it, man.
I think they're on a 14-game losing streak now, and I think it coincides with his injury. I have to double
Did you see their injury report tonight? They've got like 7 or 8 active players, including 3 people who just came up from G League, not including Porter Jr. Yeah. So it's going to be fun to see how that, I feel bad for Silas, but we'll see how it plays out for them the rest of the year.
Hey Ben, remember when we had our friend Sirit on and she said, what was the term she used for the Houston Rockets? This is when they were playing really well. What was the term? I can't remember what it was. Just so perfect. It was a millennial term that I didn't understand, obviously.
God. You are a millennial. Okay. Anyhow, I don't remember.
Z term. I need to look it up. Revenge body. They were having a revenge body season.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what at the time of that podcast that was true.
Yes,
that revenge. Is perfect. The revenge I just body. Checked, by the way, and it is a 14-game losing streak. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Yikes. But not changing anytime soon.
Yeah. Right.
It'll be more joyful.
Yeah. So he will put up like yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to put up like 30 and 20 when he comes back, though. Like, the numbers are going to be staggering.
Yeah. So you have 2 point guards, basically, and 3 centers, and I've got, like, all wings. I feel like our teams could like make a trade or something and it would work out well for in some way.
My team is fun. I like this team. This is
Jordan, who is coaching? Who's coaching your team?
Who is coaching this team? Okay, so this was going to be my question, and I'm just going to make this pick, and then if you guys have a problem with it, we can talk about it later. My coach is Becky Hammon.
Okay.
That works.
You know what? Yeah. It doesn't have to be a current head coach. You know what? Like, yes. I think that's fine. Yes. I'm with it.
I was about
it.
To be like, sexist, if you guys.
I know. That was a trap. That was a trap. And you passed. You passed. Congrats. We could have Becky Hammon as our coach.
That's literally my answer to everything when I don't get my way. So.
What do you say? Like, we're nice guys. So is that the trap?
Yeah. Nice. They're nice.
Nice. Okay. Interesting. I like that. All right. Since my team is like sort of like a fun mad science experiment, I'm going to take Nick Nurse.
I enjoyed Nick Nurse. I enjoy him when he goes on podcasts. He seems like an interesting guy. I don't know if I know much about Nick Nurse off the court, though, other than he's that consummate.
He has a guitar that he brings on some road trips. So that's all you need to know.
Okay, fair enough. That's why Mike picked him.
Doesn't he have his own? He has his own like logo, right? Like, wasn't there a whole story that came out about how he trademarked his own logo?
Did he?
I really hope so.
I'm gonna look this up and try to find this, but I'm pretty sure you know how like he used to wear like a hat during the title season that had like NN on it.
Oh, that's great.
Mark logo.
Players even have to get to a certain level before they do that. So that totally. Is hilarious.
I could have sworn that I saw this.
I support this.
Let me see if I can find this. I just remember this being like, he had his own logo.
Is he like the...
Yeah, he has NN branded hats.
Huh. What's a foundation?
Well,
it's his foundation.
Okay, so...
Okay.
I guess other Raptors also have their own brands. You guys haven't seen this?
Is this like a Canadian thing that we don't know about?
No, this is like, yeah, he has his own... He has his own brand named hat. So this
I think
like,
we're going to order in some chat. Hats.
Let's rank the. There we
go. Okay, oh yeah, well. Nick Nurse Foundation. Wait, this is cool.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yes, hoodies. They have hoodies and everything. Wait.
Yeah.
Do I want a Nick Nurse hoodie right now?
Cool, right?
What am I supporting with my donation here?
Let's oh, yeah, see. That's probably more. Let's see.
You know.
Okay. All right. The Nick Nurse Foundation provides a pathway to success by empowering children and young adults to achieve their full potential by leveling the playing field so they can become positive contributors to society.
I love it. It's purposely nice. Vague, that is purpose, so nice. Vague enough to get as many people as possible to
yes.
commit to the cause. It's perfect.
Nick Nurse. Yeah, good for him. Good pick. I mean, who would have thought that was a much more multifaceted selection than I realized?
Oh, yeah. Right? I got to get the right a mad scientist sort of quirky coach to go with my mad scientist quirky roster. I think it's just a perfect fit.
Yeah. Ready. Nice. Okay. My coach now. So I'm debating between two people. One because I'm a big soccer fan, and I like Steve Nash. I think he'd be a fun guy to talk to.
He was such a bad Premier League commentator.
Exactly.
Come
but that's on. But that's the he did Champions League for the record.
Oh, Champions League, sorry.
Horribly. No. I mean, it was and he does one of the things that is my least. It's like a huge pet peeve is when I guess he's Canadian, so maybe he gets like a half pass, but when Americans talk about soccer and they use like British terminology, but they splice it in, like they'll use soccer and pitch instead of, you know, soccer and field
and like kit.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you're saying so it's not consistent is your issue, right?
He's inconsistent. But I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go with my man Stan Van Gundy. because I love what Stan stands for. I think he is one of the funnier people. I love when he gets mad and yells. I like the way he looks even. I think he looks hilarious. He reminds me of an oversized version of the John Lovitz cartoon character, The Critic. Do you remember The Critic? That's, I'm going to age my appropriate myself very hard right now.
You've aged me.
Dude, you're the same age as me. It was a show from the 90s where John Lovitz played a cartoon movie critic, and he always would say, it stinks. And people will eventually Google this and think it's a dumb joke, but that's okay. So
no, I see the resemblance. Okay,
yeah. And Stan Van Gundy is someone who, in an era of a lot of folks being quieter than they should be, is as outspoken as he feels like he needs to be. And so I'm a fan of Stan Van Gundy. I'm going to put him as my head coach.
He's a woke honey. Definitely. Also, yeah. Who cannot like him after, we're going to build a fucking wall?
I know. That was
timeline.
Oh, man.
That, so good.
That's still one of my favorite pieces I've ever done. The like sort of picture breakdown of what a fucking wall looks like.
What a fucking wall is, dude.
I remember that one.
I have to go find that piece. I just remember like kind of playing around with like drawing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a line. And that took more time than actually writing the thing. Well, SB Nation. All right, but yeah. I'm a little surprised you did. If like outspokenness is like the thing, I'm surprised you went with Stan instead of, I don't know, maybe someone Haley will take or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, so my choice is actually my first choice.
Okay,
Monty
Williams.
Yeah, I like Monty.
Okay,
that's a good one.
My most likable coach, and the one if I had to pick someone who I wanted to succeed the most, which is a thing I'm uncomfortable saying because I do want a lot of people to succeed. It's him for sure.
That's a good pick. Impossible not to like him considering everything he's been through and just his unshakable faith. And it seems like he's like really good with sort of slightly left of center sort of rosters or sort of kind of as a human. And you've got like quite the eclectic mix of personalities.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
these are some good teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I'm surprised you didn't take Popovich. If like outspoken.
I thought about Pop, but when Becky Hammon went, I thought, you know, we don't need to take two from the same roster there. I would love to see her someday supplant him as the head coach of the Spurs. So I'm gonna let that go. I would love to go through a few. Let's just hear from each person a couple that were close to hitting the team, but that you didn't end up selecting. I'll start off with saying that, like, I'm a huge fan of TJ McConnell. I love what he put into the Sixers, and he seems to be like the new fan favorite in Indiana. He's also like legitimately a very good backup point guard. And that's something that's crazy for a kid who's, essentially a afterthought from a small school in Pittsburgh, who then got to go to Arizona for a period of time to then play in the G League and summer leagues, et cetera, or not G League, but summer leagues to play for a process team. So I love his path. And I thought about McConnell. I also love Russ Westbrook. I'm a big Russ fan. I think Russ gets written. Russ is like one of those people who the perception versus reality couldn't be farther from the truth.
Perception versus reality, I totally agree. On what sense? Like, I mean, I think he's a really nice guy. Like, I think he's a much nicer guy than he lets on. But I think this is what I tweeted, I think, after, like, one of the first games. He's just so frustrating to watch as a player. I say, Russell Westbrook's a lot more fun when he doesn't play for your favorite team. Like, he's great to enjoy from afar. But I don't want to watch Russell Westbrook play basketball every single game. Trust me, I do it. It's not fun.
I guess part of me is that I like Russ's whole aura, the vibe, the thing around him, the way that he, you know, purports himself. I think he's cool to step out of. He doesn't give a shit what people think about what he wears. I think that's an awesome thing. I think that he tries to be very unique in himself. I also think that he's taken on a lot of crap for the wrong reasons on the court, despite being someone who works. I know you, Mike, think of a lot of the right reasons to dislike him, but he's an extremely hard worker and is someone who he's been battling through. He fought through Corona last year. He's had countless small injuries in his career, both wrist, knee, et cetera. So I'm a fan of Russ for a lot of reasons. And then I go back,
I'll back that up because I remember like the, MVP year that where it was like Russ versus Harden. And I'm just always like, why not both? Like, and again, people are like, you never, my friends are always like, you think everything's like just fine. And it's true. A lot of takes candy corn. I'm like, it's fine. The, whatever. It's a hot dog, a sandwich. Why not both? I don't know. So literally I'm like, but I always stood up for Russell Westbrook because although he is not the player that he was then, I love what he was after KD left. I love what he took on. And I also like any player who just tries that hard, to me, it makes up for it makes up for like some of the worst decisions he makes with shooting.
It's fake hustle.
Man, Mike is so jaded right now.
So it's fake hustle. If you really want to try,
I could not disagree more.
If you want to try hard, maybe he could like not fall asleep on the weak side on defense and maybe chase after the guy who's running off a pin down instead of sort of pointing to somebody else to do it. Like I said, he's a lot more fun to observe from a distance than having to watch him play every game. That's all. And this
that sounds
team, that's all I'm saying.
Sounds like some wizard sour grapes right there. But you know, at the end of the day, Mike, that's your personal opinion, and we all have our in our enjoyable rankings. We have the guys who we enjoy watching.
Remember, you're people who pick your team are picking your team for every game. They are invested. They are like for everything.
Yeah.
They cannot miss a game. Russell Westbrook is like, oh, that's really fun to watch like once or twice a week.
But I will remind you, he didn't pick him. This is just, you know. Correct. So.
Well, that's true.
Thank you, Hallie.
Sorry, it's just, that is absolutely this is true. Probably the player I least enjoyed watching this year. Like, Myers Leonard is like 571st. Russell Westbrook is like 449th.
Well, that's a false equivalency, but sure. Okay, Mike. Let's see.
Myers Leonard is like 5,000,000th and 71st. Is that better?
Okay. Any other, Jordan or Haley, any other players who were on the tip of your tongue that you ended up not selecting?
I have a...
You go first, Jordan.
Okay, thanks. I was going to pick Lu Dort.
I wish I could pick now.
I know. If I could get that one back, I think I would probably lean more towards Lu Dort because how fun was he in the bubble? I love good going back to Russell Westbrook. Effort is my number one thing. Lu Dort is going to give you effort on every single play. Try his hardest. And I feel like Russell Westbrook does that too.
No, Lu Dort actually does it. Russell Westbrook just does it when the cameras are on. Wait, you know, you can you were the last pick. So do you want to change your pick? Like, I think that's fine. Do you want Lu Dort?
It's fine.
Do you want Lu Dort instead of Christian?
He can be first off the bench. First off the bench, Lu Dort.
Okay.
And also Fred VanVleet. I was going to pick... VanVleet, he's, you know, and one basketball player. Like, Fred VanVleet is amazing. So that would have been one that would have been on my backup. But I feel like I had to go with Dame there. Fred he's VanVleet. So fun this year. Back in college, I've been a fan of his. So
Sam.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are two.
Yeah, VanVleet's great.
VanVleet would have been a really good pick, actually.
I'm like realizing there's tons of guys who I mean, even so if you go into the Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been like, he's becoming one of the most unstoppable players in the NBA, like quickly as well. And completely under the radar because the Thunder are what they are right now. And they would have like one of the teams with like three nationally televised games this season or two or whatever.
If you really enjoyed him, you would know what his name was.
Did I screw it up again? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
You said Gilgeous-Alexander.
But the second time you got it.
You
got it
right there. Yeah. Shai was on my list too. It was going to be here. It was Shai or LaMelo. And I decided that LaMelo had a little bit more universal appeal.
That's fair. But, he keeps getting hurt though. And I don't love that. But anyhow, it's what it is. Little knickknacks. Haley, anyone you were going to have on the list that you did not go with?
Yeah. And I'm going to run through them because I was writing a lot down because again, like, true to Jordan and I's brand, I'm like, I love him. Oh, I love him. Okay. Speaking of effort guys, I love guards who will like fucking against what's probably best for them, go grab rebounds and like rebounds that are not super easy to get. Terry Rozier, obviously a little bit of bias. I found out that we were like, this had a little bit to do with basketball. I didn't pick this next one, but Satoransky, I love a two-way player. I love someone who tries. He's so fun some nights. Jrue Holiday, super lovable off the court. On the court, Malcolm Brogdon. Again, I had Jimmy because I was like, I love watching him. Jalen Brown, JoJo Ingles. Karis LeVert.
Joe Ingles but he's good.
He's a hurt. And then Stephen Adams.
Okay.
I just love Stephen Adams. He's so, he has an accent. Yep. What else could you ask for?
Karis LeVert is coming back this weekend.
Is he? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's great.
That
is one of the most unique stories. Most unique shouldn't qualify unique, sorry, but is a completely unique story. This idea that his life potentially was saved by a trade. I can't think of any other scenarios like that. There was one NHL story where someone had like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and that was found in an evaluation of like their health for something else, like a knee injury or something. But those are good ones. And Stephen Adams is like universally known as being like a goofy, good teammate to have. And so I was basing a lot of my kind of selections on the non-basketball related side of things when I made my list. I think Boban Marjanovic would be another fun one to have. He seems like a goofy guy.
Oh yeah, that's a good thought.
I like Enes Kanter a lot as well. I think he's someone who has a different story to tell, and I appreciate that. Iguodala is someone I've always been a huge fan of. I will argue with my friends till the end of the universe that he'll be a Hall of Famer someday, even though he won't be probably.
But you don't think so?
He's going to be really, really close. I think he should be, quite honestly. I mean, I don't know how many NBA Finals MVPs aren't in the Hall of Fame. There's got to be if there are any.
I was going to say that's probably the biggest argument.
Yeah, that's the thing that'll get him in. Yeah,
I'm gonna look this up. I hope so. I feel like there have to be a couple.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? And then the other two I had were Nick Vucevic, who is just straight up one of the nicest people in the league, and always has time for people when they see him in like airports or whatever. And Kyle Anderson is one of my favorite people as well. Kyle Anderson and I have a mutual, very good friend, and apparently, you know, again, he's from North Jersey, played at I think St. Pat's or St. Anthony's, one of those now defunct, formerly Superior North Jersey high school basketball prep programs. And I just love what Kyle Anderson's done with being one of the least athletic, in a very traditional athletic sense, NBA players, because he's become a legitimately good role player with a pretty unique skill set. Like, he's a very smart, makes the game go. I like to think of him as like an oversized Andre Miller, who I also really used to like.
Ooh. Look, representation matters, even for slow people. So
totally. Slow-mo indeed. Yes.
Kyle Anderson was on my list as well. Mm-hmm. I like unique players. I like players who play strangely. I feel like they're really fun to root for. He was on my list. By the way, the answer to the Finals MVP question is Cedric Maxwell won Finals MVP in 1984. I believe, or maybe one of the other ones.
Is it Celtics?
Yeah, with the Celtics. And I guess Chauncey Billups, is he technically in the Hall of Fame yet?
No, but he will be.
You think
so?
He
will be, yeah.
Is he not eligible yet? When did he retire?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the class now, and a good way to always feel old is to see who enough time has elapsed since they've retired, they can be eligible for the Hall of Fame. And seeing guys like Paul Pierce have their names there now makes me feel like really old, like, and I'm not that old, but really old. And so, yeah, I don't know if Billups is eligible yet, but that team in general stands out as being one of the most it's essentially five equally valuable pieces that won a title. And there's very few teams that have done that. Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Ben Wallace is eligible right now, right? Yeah.
I was just going to say, Billups would definitely be either coming up soon, but he should definitely be in it.
Yeah.
Billups hung around for a while.
He did.
I'm trying to remember. Well, so did Pierce, I guess. On my list, I almost picked Anthony Davis instead of Jokic. That's a total pure basketball thing. I just love his game. I think there's no secret that I love his game, but it was between Anthony Davis and Jokic for that spot. I said it looks silly now, but I thought Anthony Davis was the best player in the game, in the sport, like better than LeBron, better than any of them.
Coming out of the bubble, that was a fine enough take, Mike.
As a fan, you don't like watching him play because in this household, we call him the glass man, because every time he falls, he thinks something horrible has gone wrong, or he's limping. It's his fingernail. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
So it's actually that's a good point. High anxiety of watching him play, because just like we're saying, don't come back. He should not come back until the playoffs, because who knows what's going to happen. So game-wise, points-wise, yes, but joy, I think you made the right choice.
Yeah, that's a great call. Because even though I picked Embiid for the first 3 years of his career, I watched every single second with a level of anxiety, because he hit the ground more than anybody I could think of in the NBA, and he's enormous. AD better take his sweet, sweet time with his Achilles. That goes without saying. And I hopefully the Lakers are playing that intelligently.
I also think in a totally different way, it's probably more fun from afar than up close, because he doesn't always look like he's trying his hardest, even though he is. So you follow Lakers fans on Twitter. I don't know, Jordan, if you've noticed this, and they're, even before he got hurt, they're like, man, he's really not trying this year. And I'm like, I'm watching him afar, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? But I understand that, like, he doesn't exert the same way that sort of draws people to him. So that's another sort of point. Kyle Lowry was someone I thought about, but unfortunately he's been an all-star recently, unbelievably. So I didn't pick him. Jaylen Brown was also an all-star that I looked at. I mentioned Jeremy Grant. Just sort of, I have a thing for tall wing players who do cool things. And otherwise, you mentioned a lot of the people I'm sure I'm going to think of.
Has Trae Young been an all-star, Mike? I think people really like watching Trae play.
I'll tell you one person if Russell Westbrook is 4'9", is 499, Trae Young is like 420.
You're just such a purist, though. I mean, I think the general fan loves watching guys like
Trae play. I like players who pass the ball every once in a while and not for assists. Like, I like players who sort of let the other guys get to do things.
Ben, you'll remember that the Bradley Beal fiasco was centered around Trae Young last year.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah.
Good point. Oh, Mike just holds all this energy. Yeah. Bradley Beal's a good player.
I could do without his fiance whining about all-star games.
I was going to say that's his main point, being likable for me. So it's the sell.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
We love her.
Okay. I'm just like, okay, I get it. Like, he could have been an all-star. Like, you don't have to, like, kind of whine about everything. Sometimes it's okay to be happy.
Whine or support?
Support.
Probably the latter there, yeah.
Support is, this guy's really good. Whine is, how come you didn't pick this guy? It's a negative.
She had stats. She had reasons, and I think they were valid reasons.
She had valid reasons, and she went to bat for her man. And if somebody did that for mine, I would do the same thing. I'd pull out every single stat of why he's the best. And it works the same way. If somebody brings my boyfriend's order wrong, I'm going to give them reason.
Oh, 100%.
Why they need to correct
expect,
this.
Yeah. I expect nothing less in a relationship.
I'm now thinking of the Schitt's Creek scene where Alexis is like incredulous that Ted won't send his food back. Do you guys watch that show?
I do, but I can't remember that exact scene.
Wow, this is really amazing.
Riveting. Yeah. Yes.
All right, well, I think this is a lot of fun. Again, why don't we post these teams? We'll see who actually gets the most fans and how I will smoke all of you. Look forward to it. But yeah, this, I think, also hopefully for people who are listening, like, this sort of gives some sense into what do we like to watch as people? And you kind of learn a little bit more about our basketball sensibilities from the teams we picked, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was a cool thing. Anyway, the podcast is Spinsters. Do you want to press play on the recorded message about subscribing and all that stuff?
Yeah, let me put on my Siri voice. Subscribe with Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good. Do the same to Limited Upside too while you're at it. Maybe after you subscribe to Spinsters. But what's next on the? I know you guys have some narrative podcasts coming up. Can you give a sneak preview about what's next? You did a show on the HIV Magic Johnson thing from 30 years ago. what's next?
Yeah, we have our first contributor show coming on, and I'm going to not reveal the guests yet, but the subject is about dunking. So we were inspired by the dunk contest, and we are so excited about this one. So
yeah, this is a good one.
Awesome. Is he on my team I just drafted? No, it's okay. We don't no reveals. I hope so, because that would boost my team. But anyhow, that's all right. I'm being selfish. This was a lot of fun. Jordan, it's my first time meeting you and Haley. It's only our second time, I think, being on a podcast together. But I'm wishing you both all the luck. I know it's going to be a success. And I mean, look, we're all part of this Blue Wire family here. So hopefully we will, cross-pollinate again on a pod sometime soon. But I think ultimately we couldn't think of two better people to have. What?
Cross-pollinate? Yeah. I feel like that's not what you're really trying to go for.
That's exactly it. It's like mixing two different things together.
Yeah, but
two different podcasts.
Isn't pollinating like mixing genetics?
No.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's a freaking figure of speech, writer guy Mike.
I feel like it's a little, God. I feel like it's like a little bit too. Anyway, whatever. Okay, cross pollinate.
Buddy.
Okay.
Buddy, that is a turn of phrase that is relatively well used in a pretty ubiquitous sense.
A holistic sense? Is that what you're
Didn't
saying?
Go there. You said the word, not me. Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Okay.
All right. That should probably do it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Limited Upside Podcast.